Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance you get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome to another session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Hottie. And it is a privilege to again have Dr. Les Naidu in the studio with me. Welcome, Dr. Les.
Thank you once again, Mike.
We had only planned on doing two sessions on health, but we've had a response come through, a couple of responses coming through. And so we've decided to do another health session talking about how substance abuse and alcohol and drugs affect our bodies and that, and we're going to specifically look at the case of nicotine cigarettes in this session. And I'd just like to thank all those folk who've actually sent inquiries and messages through, and I think of Nathan, Michelle, Ravi, Sada, Renee, and a couple of unknown folk. Thank you for sending your messages through, your comments through. They really are appreciated. And if you'd like to comment on this afternoon's broadcast or you have a query, you can send your SMS or WhatsApp through to 082-789-5973. I'll say that number again, 082-789-5973. Right, Dr. Les, we're going to speak about smoking, and you yourself being a professional dental practitioner, I think it'll be good to actually kick off speaking about how the smoking or the nicotine and that affects the mouth, the teeth, and the gums.
Sure.
Just as an intro, it's apparently, according to a 2015 HSRC, that's a Human Science Research Council report, it states that 17.6% of adult South Africans smoke tobacco. Four times more males, 29.2%, than females, 7.3%, were found to smoke. And the province with the highest current tobacco smoking prevalence is the Eastern Cape, where 32.9%, that's almost a third of all the inhabitants of the Western province, are actually smokers. So before we go into general health issues with smoking, tobacco, nicotine, let's speak about teeth and gums.
Yeah. So everything that enters your human system usually is going to come through the mouth. Mm-hmm. That includes your meals, drugs, alcohol, smoking, tobacco, and all kinds of things. Now, when we talk about cigarettes, that's one of the most common things that people start off at a young age.
Yeah, see, now, you say that it all comes through the mouth.
Yeah.
Immediately when you talk about cigarette smoking, I think of the lungs.
Yeah.
But it's got to get there somehow.
Absolutely. So we end up putting these things in the mouth, and we can breathe through the mouth or we can chew things through the mouth. So cigarettes is one of those common things that young people start using. And the cigarette smoke, although it's filtered in a cigarette, the stub has been found to not remove all harmful and toxic elements. There's been studies that show there's about 7,000 chemicals that go into the manufacturing process of making a simple cigarette that you'd buy from a shop. And these chemicals then are inhaled through the mouth, and then it goes down into your lungs through the various tissues and passages along the way. The trachea is one of the big areas that also is affected by these chemicals. So this is the entry or the pathway of entry, and that is smoke. So people also chew tobacco. People also chew other kinds of tobacco products.
So there's no filter there at all?
There's nothing at all. So one of the common things known for more the older folks is snuff.
Snuff, so yes, snuff is like a tobacco snuff. Little round metal tin.
Yep. And for some reason, people like chewing these things. In India, for example, and maybe many parts of Durban, there's a culture of chewing betel nut, which is another type of a drug system that gets into the mouth. But Let's go back to smoking. So what is the oral health implications of smoking? That was your question. When we smoke, some of the things we could suffer from is bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the very common problems. And tooth discoloration. Although the actual smoking does not damage your teeth, it does cause staining that is not only on the surface, but in the enamel itself, which is trapped. So even if you stop smoking, you will need to professionally have your teeth cleaned and even bleached to try and penetrate the teeth to release these toxic stains that get trapped inside your teeth enamel.
So it's not just your... you can oftentimes identify a cigarette smoker by the yellowing of their fingers.
Yeah.
They use, but so it's you say the teeth themselves also discolor.
Absolutely. So you get really damaging tooth discoloration.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other more serious problems are inflammation of salivary gland openings. So we have a few salivary gland openings in the mouth, and these become inflamed, leading to a dry mouth. We also get a buildup of plaque and tartar, which smoking encourages due to stain formation. And we've also noted a loss of bone in the actual bone jaw that supports your actual teeth root. So
all your teeth are embedded in the jaw,
yeah.
As it were, yeah. In the jaw bone.
That's correct.
And so you say cigarette smoking actually damages, it penetrates right through to the bone.
Through the gums, down the, there's little pockets that we have around our teeth. And
okay.
Cigarette smoke, together with the chemicals that are in cigarettes, penetrates this and causes or exacerbates bone loss.
Mm-hmm.
There's a condition on the cheeks and gums called leukoplakia, which is a sort of a white, patchy type appearance, which is linked to some autoimmune disorders of the body. And smoking increases the risk of leukoplakia, gum disease, that can lead to even tooth loss. It also delays healing around at tooth extraction. So if mm-hmm. someone had an extraction and then carried on smoking, it would interfere with the healing process or the natural closure of the gum and the bone and cause infection.
So you say generally a non-smoker then they're on an extraction, the healing process, and of course different people, different makeup
sure.
there, but generally speaking then a non-smoker will heal quicker
yeah.
than a smoker.
Absolutely. The other problems that are more scary with smoking and dentistry...
More scary. I'm scared already.
Much more scary. is a lot of the older folks that have dental implants,
mm-hmm.
Procedures that you have a foreign screw put into the bone to support a tooth. That's called a dental implant. If you're smoking, the success rate of the implant in the bone and the gums is now at risk. It lowers the success of the treatment because of these implications. And the biggest one of all of these diseases and complications is oral cancer in the soft tissues of the mouth, the gums, the tongue, mm-hmm. the soft palate, which is just above on your palate,
okay.
and the throat. And then we all know there's other medical conditions mm-hmm. and risks that goes into the lungs, which is the biggest impact organ mm-hmm. From smoking all these types of chemicals.
So it's not just the lungs that are affected by smoking, although that is the most common
yeah.
possible problem that smoking actually causes, which we will speak about later. But it's a lot of infection, and you say cancers can be caused
yeah.
around the mouth.
Yeah.
I've haven't heard much about cancer of the mouth or cancer of the gums, and it
yeah.
Is it known as a different medical term maybe, or
there are various types of oral cancers that are formed. You get
okay.
Tumors that form that are malignant, which are cancer forming,
mm-hmm.
and smoking together with tobacco chewing or the use of betel nut, for example, and all these are kind of linked. Causes the same type of problem. The things that we didn't talk about so far with the mouth is that smokers often have a coarse voice. So it also affects the vocal cords. The soft tissue vocal cords are okay. tightened when a person starts smoking heavily. And over a period of time, you'll get this coarse type of voice from mm-hmm. the person. So it also changes your voice. And smoking also tightens your lips. So you lose your lip elasticity. So for the females especially, it's important to have nice smiley lips. With the lipstick, it looks good. But you find that females and males that smoke a lot end up with cracked lips, tight lips, and you lose what is called the elasticity of your entire mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the lips, but the entire inner linings of the cheeks, the throat, and so on becomes less elastic, drier, and leading to some fibrosis. And those are the early signs that could probably lead to a tumor formation, a change in the cellular form of your tissue, which then can lead to some fatal cancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly, Dr. Les, I know of a man who smoked a pipe most of his life, a tobacco, never smoked cigarettes, but smoked pipe tobacco most of his life. And in his early 60s, his voice became very, very hoarse, and he battled to speak, and eventually they removed his voice box.
That's it,
and he was totally speechless.
Yeah.
And tried all types of expensive contraptions to try and communicate, and you know, put this little metal thing against his throat and speak, but it was to no avail.
Absolutely.
Lot of expense and costs in that, and yet then he resorted to pad and pencil.
Yeah. It's a quality of life that you are slowly but surely losing. And if we carry on with our conversation, we find out about how smoking actually shortens your lifespan also.
Okay. Now, that's I think we must touch on here as well. We've spoken about the concern that it has for the mouth, the teeth, the gums, not just our lungs. So you say, going now towards general health, it actually shortens lifespan.
Absolutely. I was quite amazed to find out, and I think there's been a lot of research for many, many years in the smoking industry and the causes that smoking has on your entire system. So there are so many aspects of your general health that cigarette smoking affects. And one of the big ones is your cardiovascular system, which is your heart and blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart and blood vessels are very key in survival, for pushing out blood to the extremities of your body, bringing in nutrients and oxygen and everything that you need for functioning. What smoking does in this system is it causes a condition called atherosclerosis, which is a shortening of the actual blood vessels. And you're also losing elasticity of the blood vessel, which then can lead to hypertension. Your body is able to increase its pressure or decrease its pressure by relaxing or contracting your arteries and veins.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual smoking with nicotine and all these chemicals causes a tightening of the blood vessels. And your body's ability now to relax and contract those vessels is inhibited.
So there's a restriction on blood flow in the body.
Absolutely, and that is a big problem.
As a layman, when you say restriction in blood flow, then my immediate thought there is a stroke.
Absolutely. So, those are the side effects or the implications of having restricted blood flow, is that your blood pressure rises usually, and that then can lead to a stroke. A stroke is usually something that occurs in your brain, where there are very fine and thin blood vessels. And what it means is that one of those blood vessels then bursts, and the blood then is inhibited from supplying a center of the brain. And depending on which part of the brain is not being vascularized, that section of your body then is in a state of stroke, which means that part of the brain dies, and then you cannot stimulate your body to function normally.
And that causes then paralysis. Partial paralysis on the side of the body.
Absolutely, like the right side, the left side, or you might have slurred speech, you cannot talk properly, or you might have a droopy face on one side. And those are all the symptoms of stroke. The other thing that also links up with stroke is the thickening of blood itself is something that occurs in this coronary heart disease. Now, this is not the brain which is causing stroke, but the same kind of problem happens in the heart, where blood vessels may burst, but you also get thickening of the blood. We call that a plaque in the actual blood vessel.
So plaque is not just
in the mouth.
Related to teeth.
No, not
but
really.
But you get it throughout the body.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that those blockages, it's a plaque is like a buildup of film that occurs inside the blood vessel.
Okay.
And that then narrows the blood vessel and it causes clotting. Mm-hmm. You have something in our blood called platelets. And
yes.
They aggregate around these plaques and they block or clot. And that then also can cause sudden death, a heart attack. There's also other things that you have in your vascular system where blood vessels do not reach certain extreme parts of the body like your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have diabetes and you have this weakened flow of vascularization, you will probably end up with having toes amputated due to infection that could build up due to poor blood flow.
So poor blood flow to the extremities of the body, and I've heard of cases like this where a person has had to have, as you've mentioned, toes amputated and that because the blood is not getting to the extremities
That's
of the body.
Yeah.
And you say smoking actually aggravates this whole situation.
Yeah, it does.
This can happen to a person who's a non-smoker, but certainly you're saying smoking actually... the potential for this happening is far greater for a smoker.
Absolutely. It's far greater. I think what listeners don't realize is the mechanisms of how this... It might be quite weird to kind of understand in your mind. If I smoke something in my mouth and blow it out of my mouth, how is it going to affect my blood vessels or my blood itself inside my body? It's not linked. But the actual fact is that these things are absorbed directly into your blood because your blood... flows into your lungs. And
yes.
When we breathe in, we're supposed to get oxygen to oxygenate our blood. But what we're taking in is a 7,000 chemicals together with the drug nicotine, and it's having all these effects and implications inside our blood and then inside our cardiovascular system, which supplies the heart and the brain.
Mm-hmm. And the blood is like a cleansing agent, isn't it, through the body?
Yeah.
Or it should be a cleansing agent.
It should be.
Yep. And if it's polluted with smoke and all that, then obviously it cannot do its job as it should.
What we're doing with drugs and all these items is we are creating more toxins. So we're toxifying the entire system via our blood itself. When we smoke through our lungs, these toxins are then reaching the entire body, down the toes.
Mm-hmm. And as I say, where there's constriction or restriction in the blood flow, then we start getting... Is that the cause of like gangrene?
Yes, commonly known as gangrene.
Commonly called gangrene.
Yeah.
Then the extremities have to be amputated.
Absolutely, because what we call it is necrosis, tissue necrosis or tissue dies.
So it's the deterioration of the tissue.
Yes, there's no more oxygen,
okay.
And there's no more proper blood nutrition
mm-hmm.
to that extremity, so the tissue dies.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a living part of your body, and then the extremity dies. And that dead part then rots, and that's what we call gangrene.
And that would spread through the body unless it's actually treated.
And actually,
has to be removed.
At times we could use antibiotics, but most of the time you have to cut out that section of the body to prevent infection of the entire body.
Oh, that's actually very frightening. It's very frightening. Sorry, I'm smiling when you're saying, listeners, that's actually very frightening. And to think that tobacco and tobacco products, smoking, can actually accelerate or aggravate the situation makes it more so frightening. I think if I was listening to this program and I was a smoker, the last cigarette would have been smoked in my situation.
Okay.
But it's smoking is a problem, and I think we're going to take a music break now,
sure.
But we will speak about further issues that smoking causes to the body and also how possibly we could actually stop smoking. Welcome back to the second session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Harty, and we have in studio this afternoon Dr. Les Naidoo, and we're speaking about tobacco, smoking, and the problems and issues related to it. And we've dealt specifically with the mouth, the teeth, the gums, and we've gone on to the case of cardiovascular issues and that. But Dr. Les, before we go and speak about further health issues, what about secondhand smoke? So much is said about secondhand smoke and that today. Yeah. How dangerous is it, or is it just an old wives' tale?
You know, secondhand smoke is the smoke that emanates from a cigarette or anything that is like a cigar or a pipe that leaves the pipe without entering the filters that are built into these systems. It also includes what the guys puff out or the ladies puff out of their mouths. So these toxins are also reaching the environmental area in the vicinity of the people that smoking is happening around, and that could include children.
Yes.
It could include spouses or other members of the family, or even in a restaurant, or in the old days in aeroplanes, in a closed area. Guys would smoke and everyone breathed the secondhand smoke. And one might think, what risk do I have breathing all the secondhand smoke? And what has been found from some studies is that the risk factors on secondhand smoke is actually greater than the risk for the person just smoking the cigarette into themselves.
That's absolutely amazing. There. And you talk about that, and I just remember when I had the privilege of traveling overseas a few years ago, I found in an international airport there was like a smoking room.
Yeah.
It was almost, it looked like
a gas chamber.
It looked like a container with windows.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to my dear wife at the time, I said, man, I said, I wonder what this smells like in there. Yeah. And I actually went into one, and I had to step straight out of it. Yeah. The smell inside there was phenomenally strong. And I came out actually coughing.
Yeah. You know, I also bought a vehicle once, like I told you earlier, and the entire vehicle was filled with a smoke in the actual cushions and the fabric. Mm-hmm. And if you go to
any... It permeates.
And it doesn't just permeate, it stays there.
Okay.
And these chemicals that are found in the environment stays there. So in small doses, we find that in people that are breathing this stuff in, it can speed up cell growth. That is nicotinamide, which is a normal part of our system. It helps to develop our cellular growth and tissue development. But in larger doses, we find that it's actually poisonous and toxic to the cells. So what happens is the nicotine starts a process called EMT, or epithelial mesenchymal transition. And EMT is one of those things that we referred to earlier as when tissue changes. Like we're talking about fabric and so on, our bodies have tissues that are similar to fabric. And it's permeating with toxins from smoking, whether it's the person smoking or the child or the spouse. These tissues are being permeated with those 7,000 toxins, and we are now changing the actual tissue development to a mutant cellular development.
So I don't have to be a smoker myself. I can put myself in the situation where I'm endangered by this lot by just being in the presence of a person who's smoking and then breathing in their exhaled smoke.
Absolutely. It's actually more, like I said earlier, it's more toxic because it's not filtered.
Yes.
And so you're just breathing the smoke that is coming out rich from the tobacco and the chemical substances. And the increase in the risk is much higher to the child or the spouses. You would have found in South Africa now there's passed legislation from the health department that says all social areas, that means a restaurant, a shopping mall, any area that has congregants of people, there is no smoking allowed in there. It's an act of law now. And the health department lobbied for this because they have to deal in hospitals with the increasing burden of emphysema from children and social issues that are leading to cancers. And all of these diseases are linked to secondary smoking and smoking itself. So the Department of Health has put these control measures in place for people who smoke to do it privately and they should not smoke in people that do not want to smoke. We call them the non-smokers, because it's resulting in unwanted diseases to those individuals, which is not a proper human right that's not being enforced.
And certainly I know from experience, and the listeners I'm sure have the same experience, that if you go to a number of shopping malls or public areas, you find there are designated smoking areas. And even if you don't see the signage, you can actually smell it before you actually see it. Oftentimes going past those areas, it's very prevalent.
Yeah. So that's a sad fact that restaurants and other places are creating this. I would like to refer to them as gas chambers. I've also been in some of them where you find that they've created this room to encapsulate all the smokers together. So the smokers that go into a smoking area are putting themselves at greater risk because they're not only smoking what they're smoking, but they are encapsulated by this intense secondary cigarette smoke or tobacco smoke that's in the environment, and it's closed in. So it's definitely like just stepping into a gas chamber. You probably shouldn't even smoke if you enter one of those places because it's so rich with all this
all the smoke that's already there
in the environment. Yeah.
So you're not only inhaling and taking in your own smoke, but you're taking in everybody else's
secondary smoke.
Secondary smoke, which you say is more toxic. So it makes it even more dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed to get that legally passed, but it's actually putting these susceptible people in greater risk inside those gas chamber systems.
That's even more frightening.
It is. It's going to accelerate all these types of diseases we just chatted about. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about nicotine, you know, and cancer, because this is the biggest problem that people have with smoking,
cancer. Yes, and I think this is the biggest association that people have, smoking and cancer.
Yeah, and lung cancer in particular.
Lung cancer, they're the same bedfellows.
Yeah, but it's not so. We found that nicotine decreases the immune system response. So our body is cleverly created with CHK2. It's a tumor suppressor cell in your human system, in your human autoimmune system. And we find that the nicotine decreases the tumor suppressor cell. So what we're doing with nicotine or smoking is taking away the natural body's defenses that we have already built in us against the cancer that wants to start. And then what it also does, the nicotine, is it speeds up the growth of these cells. Now, these tumor cells have not only been found in the lung, but they're also found in the breast, in your colon, and mostly in the lung. And if you're on treatment for cancer, nicotine or smoking can lower the effectiveness of your cancer treatment regime that you're on. So if you're taking your medication, you're going to now inhibit the drugs that are supposed to help you. You're going to inhibit the defense system that's trying to control the tumor. And you are now causing the development of these cells to grow at a faster pace.
I think that's very important because a lot of people think, well, I'm a smoker, but I haven't got lung cancer. I've got some other type of cancer, so it doesn't really affect me. But what you're saying is it does. It affects the treatment of that cancer.
The sad thing is that it's difficult for people to give up smoking. And once they get hooked onto these drugs, it's what keeps them going. And we spoke about 7,000 chemicals that are found in a cigarette, but we find that out of the 7,000 chemicals, only 10% of those chemicals, about 70, are cancer-causing chemicals. And if we have a long-term exposure to these, these will have an impact, obviously, in our tissues. And it's something to take very clear conscience of in order to prevent these kinds of health issues and diseases.
Just an interesting factor I read recently, it says that in the USA, that's the United States of America, young adult males who smoke nicotine and those who actually use marijuana and begin their use during their adolescence years at a very high risk for an aggressive form of testicular cancer. And although that cancer is a rare, apparently it accounts for only 1% of all cancers amongst males. However, it is very, very common amongst those folk who actually smoke nicotine and use marijuana.
Yeah. You know, some people might wonder, we're talking rubbish on the radio. Like, why would smoking a cigarette cause a problem in reproduction? And young people do not understand that. 18 million males from global studies have been over the age of 20 suffer from erectile dysfunction. And that is due to cigarette smoke that we spoke about earlier, the cardiovascular system that alters blood flow to organs. And in the male, one of those organs is a male reproductive system. And by causing this thinning of the blood vessels, we are reducing blood flow to organs such as the male sexual organ. And that then causes erectile dysfunction. And people won't realize that it can cause quite severe long-term erectile dysfunction in young males. And that's the same thing that happens in older males. The other problem that we have in females is the destruction that occurs with fetal growth, birth defects, and pregnancy complications, where fertilization in reproduction is inhibited. There's some of these causes that are commonly known problems is ectopic pregnancies, where the development of the fetus is happening outside the womb or around areas where it shouldn't be. There's also failure of the egg to naturally move down the fallopian tube into the uterus. That results in the actual ectopic pregnancy. You know, pregnant females should not be smoking because that causes development problems in the child that starts, it's still growing.
I just as you're speaking there, I'm just reminded of that scripture that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he says, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if my body is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells, I would want the Holy Spirit to dwell in a good, clean environment. And we're talking about pregnancy in that. And to me, just going through my mind now as a layman, is the fact that if I'm a female and I have fallen pregnant, I would want a good, clean environment for that baby to grow. And yet, as we've been speaking, I'm hearing more and more that the nicotine and tobacco smoke is a pollutant to the body and it causes all this trouble. So I'm actually, I'm letting this child develop in its very early stages of development in a very polluted type atmosphere, which, as you say, obviously then will have negative effects and defects in this
defects,
situation.
You know, that is a sad thing. So the reproductive system and fertility in itself, and even we talk about sperm motility and its ability to fertilize, all of these natural physiological processes are interfered with due to these toxic substances. Remember that the smoke enters your blood. It causes these problems, and then it filters down into your functions. And so it does have an impact on fertility in both men and women, and especially so in young men, causing erectile dysfunction issues.
So this is a very, very serious issue. Yep. Are there any other functions of the body or body systems that nicotine and tobacco smoking could affect?
You know, I think we all are very commonly aware about the problems of the lungs. We call it a respiratory system. But what makes it interesting is in South Africa, we have a high level of people suffering with TB and HIV/AIDS as well. And it's sometimes joined together. And the function of the lung here is already inhibited. And now we have people with these diseases that also want to smoke. And the impact to these individuals speeds up the TB bacteria in terms of getting proper treatment and getting it under control. We find that the tuberculosis condition that affects scarring of the lungs is just exacerbated. People have shortness of breath, emphysema. If you have allergies like asthma and so on, these smoking should be something that you should not even consider. And secondary smoke as well. You should be totally far away from anyone who does smoke. The damage caused to the entire respiratory system is very evident for people that are smoking. You know, we spoke about smoking and your immune system. When you smoke, you lose balance in your entire immune system. And if you're in a immunocompromised situation, you don't want to be found smoking. You're just putting your body into greater stress.
Oh, that's listening to all this now. Now, the big question is, and we've only got a few minutes left, is, Dr. Lees, how do I stop smoking? That's, I think there, if I can start answering my own question, is it comes back to choice, a decision that we need to make. Although there is a form of addiction to smoking, but ultimately, it's, to me, it is a choice that we make. I will not stop smoking if I don't make that decision that I am going to give it up.
Yep. I think people that want to stop smoking must want to do this for some purpose.
Okay.
Oftentimes, you find that people get addicted to the drugs inside the cigarette, which is nicotine. It gives them this euphoric sense and some sort of a feeling of greatness and calm that their minds or their bodies physiologically gets used to. So you will need to find something to rechannel that pattern or that behavior that's built. It's a neurological and a chemical dependence that has been created by yourselves. And then it's been a pathway that your body is used to. So every time you go on a high or on a calm level of smoking and the nicotine is doing its function, you're fine. You feel good. Mm. You're going to function well and you're not going to be too stressed or you're not going to have shakes. But as soon as you stop smoking or you're not able to buy your cigarette or get it, you have these urges that I need to have a smoke because your body needs the nicotine again to give you that high again. And if you're not getting it, then it's going to cause withdrawal. So how do we get off it without, in a smooth way, and then kick it off goodbye, that it will never trouble you again? Some people can quit totally. That means they can just throw the cigarettes away and never smoke again. Is that
like cold turkey? That's it. I've decided I'm not going to smoke anymore, and that's it. Finished. And that's difficult.
That's difficult, but people are able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think if people depend on God to help them, or they could also depend on their family. If you have kids, you should actually look at your family around you, the damage you're causing to your young ones, and try and have some sort of heart for them, to their health.
So that's a motivation to give up.
I think so. Mm. I've spoken to some patients of mine that said, you know, I've got a new baby, and they want to have their teeth cleaned, and they want to turn a new chapter in their lives, and they want to clean up.
Yes.
A smoker, smoking is a filthy disease. Mm. Your hands stink, your breath smells, your teeth gets discolored. Mm. If you just talk, your voice is gone, and it's just a horrible disease. So how do we want to quit it? Is that there must be some reason to say, I want to improve my health. I want to do it for my family. We are spending so much money on cigarettes that you could put that towards an investment or education for your children. It's an addiction.
Mm.
Do not be fooled that it's something that you do out of a habit or it's, I enjoy smoking. You know, you can enjoy a good meal, but how can you enjoy something that you're addicted to? This is an addiction that has taken hold of you and is into your pocket and into your health, taking you downhill. You know, does a person really want to smell the way they do, or their vehicles? If you walk into, or if you just shake someone's hand that's smoking, is it a pleasant smell? A smoker needs to ask himself these things. How is that person perceived at work with their colleagues, or if they're professional? How is that person perceived? If you're a hairdresser, for example, and you're cutting your client's hair, the smell that reeks out of that that person, is that something pleasant in the social? Is it something that we should be excited about? Those are some of the questions that a person should ask.
And I think that's very, very real, because I can remember when I was still in business, I used to come home in the evenings, and my wife used to say to me, oh, your client was a smoker. What? I said, but they didn't smoke while I was there. She says, but I can smell it on you. I mean, there, I just, in the client's office or in their home, they didn't smoke a cigarette. But when I come home, my wife could actually smell that the residue, as it were, on me still. Yeah.
Mm. So some of the ways of getting out. You should exercise.
Okay.
You should go out for a walk. There are things that you could do, like chewing gum, drink plenty of fluids. You should relax with deep breathing. It's been found that if you do some of these things, you know, have a meal, at a smoke-free restaurant. You could go to a movie and spend time with friends and so on that are not going to influence mm-hmm. you to smoke.
So in other words, going to a smoke-free environment.
Yeah, spending time. And the body mm-hmm. is able to heal. So where there's not been any permanent damage, the body can then flush out these toxins. Your immune system can come back together. Your entire vascular system can heal. So as long as you're continuously smoking as a chronic smoker, you're continuously causing a disease pattern. And when you stop, your body has a chance, through all these little methods we spoke about now, to heal again, mm-hmm. to restore again your functions and your sight. There is so much that we have not touched on or spoke about. This is such a comprehensive topic. But I think briefly, in these ways, there are patches that you can use if you mm-hmm. really need help. You should seek a doctor's attention, and they are able to wean you off the mm-hmm. addiction of nicotine by using gum patches. There's even a little pip from a seed that you can eat, dates and so on.
And prune pips. I've heard
prune
that.
Prune pips as well.
Eating a prune and then sucking on the pip will help a person.
It does. So don't spit out those pips. You could suck on those pips. It actually has similar healthier type chemicals that kind of gives you that type of feeling that you would normally have an addiction for.
And so it's a good substitute.
It's a good substitute. It's a healthy substitute. Mm. So it's a fruit. Mm. So you could use all these methods to slowly and surely quit the habit. And it is possible. People, thousands and millions of people all over the world have quit. And it is also possible. At the time, it might seem to be something totally impossible, but it is something that is so easy and possible. And all you need to do is take the matter seriously, put down a little plan of action, and then follow through the steps to enable you to overcome this kind of addiction.
I think in this situation as well, above all things, we need to actually fall on our knees and say, Lord, help me. And if we honestly mean it, God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will enable us to actually give up. God is able to do all things abundantly well, and He sees the motivation of our heart, Nat, and I believe that if we earnestly want to give up and we seek the Lord, He will help us in this situation.
Yep.
Any closing words from yourself,
Dr.
Dez?
You know, I've been out with people as well to like restaurants and dinner, and then whilst you enjoy your meal, and then the guys want to go and have a smoke, and then a few of them get together and they go to have a smoke. And they're not young people, you know, they're old people. So I often wondered why. It's almost like a social disability that the person has to leave whatever they're doing. They have to go outside somewhere, and then they have to smoke. And then they come back. And then it's like, we have now done our thing, and we've smoked, and we are fine. It's such a crippling disability that the smokers themselves are blind to the fact that their entire lives are disrupted by the substance.
Mm. Well, listeners, we trust that your eyes have been opened. Certainly your ears must have been burning while we were speaking about this. Excuse the pun about smoking, but we trust that the Lord will enable each one, especially those who are seeking to actually give up this habit. As you trust in the Lord, we pray that you will be successful, because Christ has said that in Him we can be overcomers. God bless you all.